On Monday's front page, why inflation is threatening China's status as the low-cost workshop for the world. That hole in the roof of a Southwest Airlines 737 a couple of weeks ago revived fears of problems in aging passenger jets. Monday's front page looks at whether inspections are keeping up. And Tokyo Electric issued a plan for stabilizing the nuclear reactors damaged in the earthquake. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says China is trying to figure out how to keep its revved-up economic engine from generating runaway inflation. The latest sign that things are moving too fast came over the weekend. China's central bank ordered the nation's largest banks to set aside more cash reserves. That's aimed at cooling down the economy by reducing the amount of money available for loans. This comes after a government announcement on Friday that China's economy is growing at an annual rate of 9.7%, far faster than any of the world's other large economies. Times reporter David Barboza says inflation in China poses risks for global trade. At home, the Chinese government is worried that an overheated economy could ignite protests. Monday's front page says the hole in that Southwest Airlines 737 has focused attention on how airliners are inspected. Safety experts say the industry and regulators are too dependent on a patchwork of rules. The FAA adds new rules when problems come up. Last year, it set limits for aging aircraft like 737s. But the agency took more than 4 years to issue that rule. Airlines had objected that it would force them to ground some planes they believed were still airworthy. The FAA ended up toning down the language in the rule. It also extended a deadline for manufacturers to come up with lifetime limits on how long planes are safe. Tokyo Electric is planning what it calls a cold shutdown of its troubled reactors within 9 months. It's also planning to reduce the radioactive levels coming from the reactors before then. The timetable is part of a blueprint that also calls for improving safety. The first part of the plan includes building new cooling systems. Times reporter C.J. Chiver says you can measure the toll of the fighting in Libya from inside a single tent. It's a triage tent where the wounded are taken. It's near Misurata, a rebel holdout city that's been under attack by Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's forces for months. On an average day, 50 or 60 wounded people are brought in for treatment. About 10 of them die. Times reporter Paul Vitello says there's a debate among rabbinical experts about quinoa. That's a grain-like crop from South America. Some consider it a kosher alternative to things made with leavened grain, like bread. Some are suspicious. Both camps say its suitability for Passover depends on how it's harvested and shipped. This comes up now because Passover begins on Monday evening. Inside Monday's Times, at least 21 people were killed over the weekend in tornadoes in North Carolina. It was hardest hit by a storm system that spawned dozens of funnel clouds from Oklahoma to Virginia. In Sanford, North Carolina, people in a restaurant jammed into the meat cooler and hid behind the stoves. The tornado skipped over the restaurant. It demolished the front of a nearby home improvement store where a fast-thinking manager had sent customers into a stockroom in the back. The ex-leader of the Salvadoran military is facing a deportation hearing. The case represents an about-face on U.S. policy. Obama administration lawyers are claiming that General Eugenio Vides Casanova took part in torture. He's been living as a legal permanent resident in South Florida for the last 23 years. Human rights advocates say it's the first time a special office within the Department of Homeland Security has brought immigration charges against a top-ranking foreign military commander. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner said congressional Republican leaders have signaled they will vote for raising the debt ceiling. Geithner appeared on two Sunday talk shows. He said the Republicans had made it clear to President Obama in a White House meeting last week that they would go along with the administration's move to raise the debt ceiling and avoid a financial crisis. Some conservatives want to use the vote as leverage to demand additional spending cuts. The president will try to sell his deficit reduction plan on a campaign-style trip this week. He'll make stops in California and Nevada. The trip is his first since the unofficial start of his re-election campaign. In the latest Gallup tracking poll, his approval rating was 41%. That's tied with the lowest it's been since he was sworn in almost 27 months ago. Monday's Business Day section looks at speculation about who'll succeed Goldman Sachs chairman Lloyd Blankfein. Friends say he wants to step down soon. He's told them he's exhausted after leading the company through the financial crisis. Retailers began 2011 hoping this would be the year when large numbers of customers bought things using their cell phones. Monday's Business Day section says many retailers' mobile sites and apps make things difficult. It can be hard to look at products on a small screen, and the pages are often slow to load. Retailers say only about 2% of their sales are coming from mobile devices. That's well below what many e-commerce analysts had been expecting. Here in New York, more than 20 police officers in the Bronx could face criminal charges in a ticket-fixing investigation. Hundreds more could face disciplinary action from the NYPD. A grand jury has been looking into the allegations. About half the targets of the investigation are said to be police union officials. The Philadelphia Orchestra is moving toward a bankruptcy filing. The decision to file for Chapter 11 has sent ripples through the music world. The Philadelphians' management blamed its eroded endowment, dwindling donations, and the expense of financing its musicians' pensions. That's our preview of Monday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.